Welcome to the Foundry Church. You're about to hear a message from one of the team. We really pray this message makes a difference in your life. If you want to find out more about Jesus, church, or who we are, then visit our website www.thefoundry.org.uk after you've watched the message. Here we go!
Hi everybody. Today I want to talk to us about trusting God in the delays. Trusting God in the delays. The likelihood is that we've all experienced delays in our life. Just coming here today to preach this message to us, I was delayed in traffic lights, and delays are annoying, they're inconvenient, they're frustrating. I guess for some of us, as we look back at the last 12 months of our lives, it's felt like so many things have been on delay. COVID-19 has meant that some people have had to delay getting married and put their wedding off until a future date. For some people, COVID-19 has meant that your career has been delayed, particularly if you're like in the entertainment industry or performing arts or hospitality and other industries as well, but particularly those hard-hit industries. It can feel like your career and your job prospects, they've maybe been delayed. Maybe in 2020 you graduated and it feels like your life is on delay because of COVID. You've not been able to go and do the things that you wanted to do. Or maybe in 2020, maybe you had a baby and you've had what is termed a lockdown baby, and it feels like there's been a delay in introducing your new child to the world. You want friends and family and people to meet your new bundle of joy, and it's been a difficult year because of the delay that COVID-19 has caused, meaning that you can't share that joy in person with other people. For some people, you've experienced the delay in grieving. It's been difficult to have funerals and celebrate the lives of loved ones that we've lost this past year. And so there's maybe been a delay there. And so delays are something that we've all experienced. Delays are sometimes inevitable. Delays are frustrating. But sometimes, if I'm honest with you, sometimes we might want a delay. Let me just take you back to the 1st of June, Saturday the 1st of June, 2019. Together with my wife and my children, we were going on holiday, and we had a flight booked for 7 p.m. on the evening of Saturday the 1st of June, 2019. And as a long-suffering Tottenham Hotspur fan, on that evening, my team, Tottenham, we were playing Liverpool in the Champions League final. We got to the final and kickoff was 7 p.m. on Saturday, the 1st of June. And I remember being sat in the airport at Liverpool John Lennon Airport on Saturday, the 1st of June. I remember sat there secretly praying for a delay in the flight so I could go and find a TV somewhere and watch the game. Anyway, the flight wasn't delayed. And in the end, they lost the final. And I found out from the pilot when we landed the plane. But sometimes we might want a delay. Sometimes a delay is actually a lifesaver. I spoke to someone some years ago and they told me a story, a tragic story really, of how they were on a flight. Speaking of flights, they were on a flight and their flight was delayed, which meant they missed their connection. And actually the flight that they should have got on, tragically, that flight crashed to the ground and everybody was killed. And in that moment, that delay actually saved that man's life. Sometimes, without us realizing it, a delay is actually something that we really need. And delays are part of life. And maybe as followers of Jesus, you know, it can feel at times like God is on delay. That gap between when we ask God to do something and when we maybe feel that God has answered it, there can be this gap, this delay, and we can be confused and think, God, why are you not answering my prayers? Why are you not doing things the way I would have them done? Why are you not helping me in this situation? God, why are you on delay? And it's today and next week as well. I want to talk about this. I want us as a church, and if you're a visitor with us today, we really want you to be welcome. But I want us to lean into these delays and not lean away from the delay. But let's lean into these delays and ask God what he is saying to us and what he's speaking to us in this season. And in the Bible, I just want to talk to us for a few moments about two sisters, Mary and Martha. And they experienced this delay of God, this moment where it feels like God is either absent or God is just delaying his response. They experienced this firsthand. And if you've got a Bible, just turn with me to John chapter 11. The words will come on the screen as well. But it says this in John chapter 11, and it's the story of the death of their brother Lazarus. But it goes like this. It says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters send word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.'" So it's looking up. They've sent word to Jesus, and it seems that Jesus is on this. He's got it. It's sorted. And then in verse 5, it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." In verse 6, "So when he heard that Lazarus was sick," when he heard that Lazarus was sick, the Bible says he stayed where he was for 2 more days. When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. See, in this story, up until this point, everything is leaning towards God the Son, Jesus, being moved with compassion and responding immediately to the request of Mary and Martha to come and heal Lazarus. But there it is in black and white. The Bible says Jesus stayed where he was for 2 days. And I've read around this and I've even prayed about this. And I'm like, God, why the delay? Jesus, why didn't you get going straight away and heal Lazarus? Spoiler alert, we'll come to this. But Jesus does go and raise Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus eventually dies, and Jesus does go and raises Lazarus up. But at this moment in the story, Mary and Martha don't know that. It just says that Jesus stayed where he was for 2 days. So for 2 days, Mary and Martha, they're just waiting. Their brother Lazarus is at death's door. They've sent word to Jesus, and there is silence. There is this delay, not just silence. There, it seems, an intentional 2-day delay where Jesus just stays where he is. I don't know about you, but I feel like I can relate to that. I feel like sometimes I'm asking God for something. I'm asking God for some help. I'm asking God for some blessing. I'm asking God to do something, and it just feels like God is staying where he is. And there's loads of theories out there as to why Jesus stayed where he was. There's a couple of theories, and one of them is that, well, maybe he stayed where it was to test their faith. He really wanted to just find out how much they trusted him. And some people think that's why Jesus did that. Some people think that actually Jesus didn't go straight away to where Lazarus was because he had some unfinished business to attend to. And that's another theory that some people have got. But ultimately, friends, as we look at this, my conclusion is really, as I look at this story, I don't know why Jesus didn't go straight away. I don't know really the reason why Jesus didn't go and deliver Lazarus. It's a mystery. It's one of those big questions like Steve spoke about last week. One of those questions that one day I'm going to ask Jesus why. And the conclusion I've come to is this: I don't know. And it's okay that I don't know. Again, just so blessed last week to be released again in Steve's message to know that it's okay not to know all the answers. the mystery of godliness, says in the book of Timothy, the mystery of godliness is great. And it's okay to not know all of the answers. And here's a few things that I just kind of think through as I'm processing this. Why the delay? Why, Jesus, are you delaying? First of all, I think that, you know, following Jesus, it's not all on our terms. It's not like Jesus is responding to our every whim, to our every request. For us, as followers of Jesus, it's exactly that. We are followers of Jesus. Yes, Jesus pursues us by his Spirit, but he calls us to worship him, to come after him, and to follow his way and not our way. And really, I think it's not about the delay. We might be questioning, well, how can I trust God in the delay? Why does God delay? And actually, I think it's really all about trusting Jesus that he has got a plan that is bigger than this delay. He has got a purpose in all of this that is bigger than my question. He has got something to come through this that I may never understand this side of heaven, but one day I will see completely what it was all about. What it means, I think, is that we can take a verse like Romans 8:28 to heart. And in these seasons of delay, when we can't see the end, we can't see the beginning from the end, we can look at a verse like Romans 8:28, and it says this, and we know that in all things, and I believe those all things are all the delays, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Friends, God is working in the delay. It might not feel like it. We might not see it with our physical eyes. But I believe he is calling us with spiritual eyes of faith to say, you know what, God, I don't understand it. But in this season of delay, I believe you are working all things for my good. So I think the question isn't, God, why are you delaying? The question is, God, where, God, you are good and I trust you and I'm coming after you regardless of the mystery. There's a commentator called Eddersheim, great name, and he says this about this mystery of God. He says, Christ is never in haste because he is always sure. The silences of scripture and the waitings of God are often without explanation. They're often without explanation. So maybe rather than thinking of these delays of God, the evidence of God that he's not doing what we want him to do or he's not in control, maybe these delays of God are actually evidence that he is in control and that he is working behind the scenes to make things happen for our good and for his glory. And, you know, sometimes I think, well, I want God to respond to my every need. I want God to respond to my every request. But I think sometimes if that's my view of God, then really my view of God is that he's more like a Jeffrey than a God. And let me just explain what a Jeffrey is at the moment. Jeffrey is my favorite character out of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And just recently, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, they put all series on BBC iPlayer. And like 20 years ago, I used to watch this and found it hilarious. And just recently, my kids said, Dad, can we watch this thing called The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? And I'm like, let's get on it. Let's watch it together. It is so funny and it's a brilliant show. And I highly recommend watching The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And just as an aside note as well, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the makers of that show, they were ahead of their time in terms of education and in terms of black history education. It's brilliant. They do it in a sensitive way and in a funny way. And I really want to recommend the show The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Anyway, my favorite character is Jeffrey. And Jeffrey is the butler. And the thing with Jeffrey is this. Jeffrey has to respond to every request from the family. So if someone can't find their keys, they shout, Jeffrey! And Jeffrey turns up straight away. He's on time. And he brings their keys. Someone rings the doorbell. And they go, Jeffrey! And Jeffrey answers the door. The washing up needs to, Jeffrey! Someone needs, Jeffrey! Jeffrey responds straight away. I wonder sometimes, in my relationship with God, am I treating God more like Jeffrey than God? And the thing with Jeffrey is this: Jeffrey is great. He's a great character, but Jeffrey isn't part of the family. Jeffrey is never in the living room taking part in the family discussions. Jeffrey isn't really loved as one of the family because he's there to work for them, to meet their needs, but he's not really included in the family life, in the program. And I wonder sometimes, do we want God on our terms? Do we want a God who resembles a butler that will come and meet our need when we recognize we've got it? So God, I've got an interview today. I really need you. Help me. And then we forget about God and get on with our life. Or God, I'm really struggling financially. I could really do some help right now. And then we move on with our life and forget about him. Or God, I'm just not feeling very good today. I need your help. I've got to go and see the doctor about something. I really need you right now. And we then forget about God for the rest of the time. Friends, I believe God is calling us today not to treat him like a Jeffrey, but to invite him into the living room of our hearts, to spend time with him, to call on him, to relate with him as a father who wants to love us. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. He wants to help us. He wants to nurture us. He wants to be so much more than a Jeffrey. How many times have I treated God like that? I know I have. There's been times in my life where I'm like, well, God, I really need this. I better pray. Or God, I really need that. I need you to come through for me. And in the delay, I can begin to question, where is God after all? Friends, I believe God has more for us than that. I believe God wants us to stop treating him in a way that we expect him to come every time and actually look to him to relate to him and grow a relationship with him. And so as I conclude in a few moments, maybe today you're listening to this message and maybe you're feeling you want to invite God into the living room of your heart for the first time. You've never really considered this before, but you've listened to this message and you don't understand it all, but you know that Jesus is calling you into a relationship. There have been some delays going on and there's some things going on and you don't understand, but right now after this terrible 2020 that we've had, you're like, I need a better future. I need to know that there's some purpose to live for. I believe that Jesus wants to come into the living room of your heart. In a few moments, one of our team will give you the opportunity to invite Jesus into the living room of your heart. Maybe you need to invite Jesus into the living room of your heart once again because for a season of life, you've relegated him to the kitchen. There's been some disappointment. There's been some delays. There's been some frustration. You've asked God for help. You've called out to God and nothing's happened. And so you thought, well, God, I don't want you in the living room anymore. I just need you outside, just as a backup, just as an emergency. Friends, I want to tell you, there is more to a relationship with God than relegating him to the kitchen. God wants to come and be part of your life. He wants to lead your life. He wants to relate to your life. And if that's you and you recognize that, I just want to say there is hope today because God does not oppose those type of people. It says in James chapter 4, verse 6 to 8, that God opposes the proud, in other words, those who don't recognize they need him, but it says he shows favor to the humble. In other words, those people who recognize, you know, God, yeah, I relegated you to the kitchen, but I need you back into the living room today. It says God opposes the proud, those people who won't admit it, won't recognize it. But if you admit that that's maybe where you've come to, the Bible says that he will show favor to that humility, that humbleness of heart today. So I want to challenge you three quick things as I conclude. Let's make room for God in our lives. Let's prepare room for him. If someone's coming into your living room, it's been a while. We've been under restrictions. No one's come into our homes. But if someone's coming into our home, we make room for them. I want to say, let's make room for God. He's better than Jeffrey the butler. He's a God who wants to come and live with us inside the living room of our hearts. The second thing is this: involve him in the decision-making of your life. God wants to be involved. before you take that job, before you move home, before you take up a ministry, before you date that guy or date that girl. Maybe just ask God, is he a loser or is he worth it? Or before you take that job, is that a good job for me or is that something I could not do? Or before you decide to purchase something, God, is this blessed or is this stressed? Involve God in the decision making of your life. And finally, trust him in the delay. Trust him in the delay, the period of time between when we ask God to do something and when God comes through and does it. This period of time, I'm praying for you that in this period of delay, you will lean into that. You will hear from God and will learn as a people and as a church to trust him in these moments. Thanks for joining us today and listening to this message. Next week, we're going to unpack this a little bit more. Look at how Mary and Martha specifically trusted God in the delay, what that looked like in their life. And maybe this week, go and read the rest of John chapter 11 if you want to. If not, don't worry about it. We'll address this again next week. God bless you. God go with you. And we'll see you soon.